and finish, Amberly.
Oh, sorry.
Good, good to see everyone out this morning there. Everybody's in a good mood. They survived the storms. We found out that Amberly sent me a message and said, I'll be okay. Storms coming through Auburn. She said, I'm in Jordan Harris Stadium in the end zone. You don't have to worry about touchdowns here. So that was good, wasn't it, Kim? So glad to see, seriously, everyone stayed safe, and we did call church off. Sometimes you feel like you make the wrong decision, but that one was definitely right. We would have been driving in the middle of a hailstorm if we decided to come. So appreciate the guys acting on that. And we everyone was safe, and a lot of some property beat up and stuff, but nothing you can't replace. And glad, praise the Lord, everyone stayed safe through it. It was a scary ordeal. We have any prayer requests this morning? Anybody else? Remember our services this morning. Remember, we'll be having a sunrise service over at the watershed in Heflin, and that's not out here where the vans parked. That's over here. Someone thought it was over here where the vans parked under the watershed, but we'll be having our sunrise service over there. I'll get to those announcements in a little bit, but remember that. Be much in prayer for it. Excited about it. Very special time of year for our faith, for Christians. It's without this time, which you can't have one without the other, but without the resurrection, we would just be another group gathering. But we're a group gathering that serves a risen Savior. He's alive. He's not dead. He's on the right hand of the Father, just as more alive than me and you are right now. And praise the Lord that he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And what an honor it is to get to worship one that's alive. We don't, a lot of religions throughout the world worship a tomb. A lot of them worship a statue, different things. But the one we worship, we can't see him with our physical eyes, but we can see him with our spirit. And he's still alive today. And so this morning, let's worship him like he's alive and understand that we do serve a risen Savior. Any other prayer requests? Not, we'll go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you again for this service that we're going to have. We thank you for the Sunday school lesson that we've had. Father, we thank you for our teacher in there and for the ones opening up and talking. And, Lord, we just ask that you ever grow us closer. And Father, we thank you for keeping us safe through those storms that passed through us, through our area last week. And, Father, as far as I know, not a one harmed. And, Father, I thank you for that. I ask you to be with our church as we go through this Easter season, and we'll truly see the meaning of this resurrection and understand what it means to us that one day our body too will be raised. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask you to be with our service this morning. Touch our singers as they sing. Father, as we come to the time of preach, give me the words to preach. And Father, most of all, we ask your spirit be in this midst. If I can say a million words, but unless you speak to the hearts of your people, no good is done. Father, we pray for that this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us this morning in our call to worship.
Father, still you are.
Holy ground, here I am.
About today and trying to figure out what the Lord would have me to preach and praying about it and looking and trying to decide, and I thought, Lord, I want a great message. It's Palm Sunday. I want to preach about it, but it didn't happen. But we are going to preach about some things that went on at the end of that week. But if you know the story of Palm Sunday, Jesus came in to Jerusalem, and man, they just praised him, how great he was. Put palm leaves down and all this stuff, just made a big to-do. And then you turn to the end of Matthew or any of the Gospels, and you'll see where some of the same group who was all for him was all against him. They expected Jesus to come in and to overthrow the Roman government. They didn't understand the kingdom that he was talking about, that he would set up, that it wasn't of this earth. They wanted a military ruler, one that would overthrow these Romans, because Romans were mean. They treated them bad, and you didn't want to be around the Romans, very evil people. So that's what they expected out of Jesus. And when it didn't happen, many of them thought he was a fluke, thought he was a fake. They wondered why the government wasn't overthrown, and here he is. And I tell you what we'll do with him, we'll just crucify him. And so it's amazing what a difference a week can make, isn't it? The first of the week, they let that first Sunday, Palm Sunday, they loved him. And by the end of the week, which we know he had rose, but how amazing it is of how fast people can change their view of Jesus. How fast. But if you got your Bibles today, Matthew chapter 27, the Lord's given me a message on choices. I know I preached about choices before and making decisions, but life is made of choices. You make them every single day. You will make one today before you leave this building. You'll make one while you're sitting there. Some will make a choice to go to sleep. Some will make a choice to stay awake. So we all make choices. But I want you to see, and as Jesus' crucifixion was coming upon us, that there were some choices made. And I began thinking about choices, and we make choices all day long, every day. We make them, some of them affect us for a little bit, some of them affect us for a long time. The choices I make of what I'm going to eat. We got some ladies in the church and Keith that has been making choices about what they'll eat. Keith's choices ain't been as good as theirs. I saw them with cucumber sandwiches, and I saw Keith with a bowl of ice cream. So I like Keith's choices. But Keith's choices is what's got me to this stage. So our choices will affect us. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But I promise you, if you eat ice cream every single day, there'll be a day when your pants won't fit. It may not be biblical, but it's true. There'll be a day that your pants won't fit, and you'll have to do one or two things, lose weight or buy new ones. But listen, today we're preaching about something much more serious than that. We're preaching about a man, first of all, named Pilate, who chose to listen to the mob. Let me read the scripture here. In Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 15, it says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont," that means he needed to, "release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude They should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with this, with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this time of year again that we're about to come into where we celebrate your crucifixion, your death, your burial, and the resurrection. And Father, we thank you for allowing your Son to do that so we could have eternal life. Father, we ask you to be with our service today. If there's one in here that hasn't made the choice for Jesus today, I pray they will before we leave this place. Father, if there's those in here that have made the choice, but they're not following, Father, we pray that they'll make that choice before we leave today. Lord, we pray for our church here. We pray you'll use it to reach this community. Father, we pray that you'll use each and every one of us for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This notable prisoner, it's weird how things work and God works things out. In our Bible college class, it seems like a group of 40-something-year-old men wouldn't need to study a word such as notable. But the word notable, you look back in your Greek and Hebrew, and it means to write down. It means if something was notable, you need to write it down. So this man Barabbas was a notable prisoner. He had done some things that was good. He was a robber, the Bible says in Luke. There's some more places that he was a thief and insurrectionist. He started trouble no matter where he went. And one thing I didn't know until I had preached this before, but to begin studying more about Barabbas, the reason that Pilate says, he says Jesus, which is called the Christ, Barabbas' first name also was Jesus. And you look up the name Barabbas, it means son of the father. Is it not amazing how God brought this thing out that this son of the father is not the same son of the father that's about to be crucified? He's the son of the prince of this world, the sinners is what it's talking about here of how Barabbas. But listen, a Pilate here was given a choice. He was given a choice. Jesus was brought to him by the priest, by the religious bunch, and said, "Here, we got this man that's a blasphemer. We want you to put him to death." And Pilate knew, the Bible says, I read you that scripture, Pilate knew that the only reason they wanted to do this was because of spite, was because they didn't like him, they didn't like what he preached, he'd done nothing wrong. He'd done nothing guilty of death, he'd done nothing he'd been put in jail for, and here he is, an innocent man. And Pilate gets to make a decision. Boy, would you not have hated to have been Pilate in that day. And listen, I know with all my heart, Pilate knew that man was innocent. Pilate knew he was innocent, he even washed his hands. He said, "Here it is, boys, I'm released of this, but I want to tell you something today, church. You can wash your hands all you want to, but you're still not released of your obligation with Jesus. You still got a responsibility to make a choice about him. Washing your hands all day long won't release you from that. You got a responsibility to decide what you will do with Jesus." Pilate said, "What do y'all want to do with him? What do you want to do with him?" Now listen, Pilate was convinced by a mob. He was convinced by a whole crowd. There was Sarah. He asked him, he said, "I got this prisoner here, and I believe he chose this one." He had many prisoners, no doubt, but I believe he chose this one because this was a notable prisoner, and he thought, "Surely they'll get this off my hands. If I put Barabbas out here, as bad as he is, he's a troublemaker, he's a thief, he's a robber, he may have even robbed some of them, he may have even killed some of their families." So he said, "Surely they'll choose Barabbas." So he says, "Okay, who will you choose, Barabbas or Jesus? Which one will you choose?" We know how the story goes. We know the scriptures must have been fulfilled. But listen, Pilate chose to listen to the mob even instead of his wife. Boy, how many times we're guilty of that? Well, we want to listen to somebody else besides her, but she comes to him and she says, "Don't have anything to do with this. That man is innocent. I've been tormented in my dreams about this man named Jesus. Don't you have anything to do with crucifying him?" But he wouldn't listen. He went on, whirling around with the crowd. Listen, we got some teens here this morning. And it's not just teens that's influenced by the crowd. These people here in this day, they was adults, I believe, and they was influenced by a crowd. But I want to tell you, teens, how easy it is to be influenced the wrong way. Don't let anybody influence you in something you know is not right. I don't care how cool they are, how many of them they are. If you know it's not right, you don't go along with it. You stay with the Lord. And I promise you, you'll always be right. But listen, choices are all the way around us. So Pilate chose not to listen to his wife, and Pilate even chose not to listen to his own heart. He knew this man was innocent. He knew it, says he knew it. He knew the only reason he was there, because they didn't like him, didn't like what he preached, and the real reason they didn't like him, because he was overturning the apple cart. He was doing away with all their religion. We taught this morning just a little bit in Sunday school, And I pondered a message all week about religion or relationship. That's what I was going to preach this morning, and the Lord put this on my heart. But listen, this man chose all of these priests that was worried about tradition over relationship with the Son of God. So here they bring him forth to be crucified. Pilate didn't listen to his wife. He didn't listen to his heart. And he said, here you go. Y'all decide what you'll do with him. Boy, not just like us today. We won't step up and say, you need to do this with Jesus. You need to accept him. You need to, if you don't accept him, you're going to die and go to a place called hell. You better make a choice about Jesus. No, what we do today is we tiptoe around this thing and said, here's this man named Jesus. Now you decide what you'll do with him. Listen, church, it's up to us today to tell a lost world, you better choose him. You better choose him. If you don't choose him, what's the wrath is? Listen, I watched Billy Graham and it made an impact on me, y'all. Talked about it twice already. I watched Billy Graham yesterday. And Billy Graham, as great as a preacher as he was, boy, was he simple. He was simple. He asked him, he stood up there in Anaheim Stadium in California, thousands and thousands of people in that place, and he told them simply, if you don't choose Jesus tonight and you don't choose him some point in your life, you will go to hell. And he said that in front of all them people. And guess what? At the end of service, 3,000 people came out there around that many and filled up the whole outfield of the baseball stadium. Gave their heart to Christ. It was a simple message. Who will you choose? Who will you choose? So Pilate chose. Now listen. The point number two, they chose Barabbas. And boy, when I began reading about these days, I thought, I ain't got time to preach about all them days, Lord. But listen, we've got to preach the days. I didn't put it on my notes for them back there to follow, but I want each one of y'all to get your Bibles out and turn to chapter 27, verse number 15, and we're about to go through some days. I want you to see about they. They chose Barabbas. But listen here, in verse 15, it says that Pilate told him, he said, I got to release a prisoner, and he said, I'm going to let they choose. Verse 15, he said, whom they would. In verse 16, a notable prisoner, Barabbas. They had a choice. Verse 17, therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, here they are, they gathered. And then verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. You going over to verse 21, and the governor answered and said unto them, whether of twain will ye say, will ye that I release unto you? They said Barabbas. I said unto them, I added an extra they there. And the governor said, what evil hath he done? But they said, crucify him. Cried out even more, it says. Still hollering, crucify him. You turn on over. My Bible had turned over to keep up. Verse 28, it says, and they stripped him. Man, they just keep going, don't they? And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And the reed in his right hand, and they bowed knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews, in verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to bear his cross. Verse 33. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Verse 35, and they crucified him. Boy, do you see what they are doing? They crucified him. In the latter part of verse 35, they parted his garments. Verse 36, they sat there and watched him. They watched him. Verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. It keeps going, y'all. Verse 47, some of them that stood there when they heard said, this man called for Elias. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, we're changing gear. They feared greatly. They feared greatly. 25 times in chapter 27, they. 25 times, they. You did it. Boy, I had to get to my old phone out and I had to Google they, and I should have knew what they means, but it means a group. It means a certain amount of people or a certain group of people, and we use it to say they. We don't say Blake, Amberly, Landon, Kaylin, and we don't say all of them went to the store. We say they went to the store, so it was a group of people. So I began wondering who the they is. And can I tell you something today, church? You know where the they is? It's standing right here. Sitting right here. They are in the pews. They are in the pulpit. They are back there at the soundboard. They are everywhere. Every single one of us done this to Jesus, what was done to him. And bless God, he still saw grace to forgive us. What about it? You want to see this? Turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Listen to what he did. All those days done. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The theys, 25 times in Matthew, they rivaled, the Bible says. They spat upon him. Even scriptured in Isaiah says how bad they beat him. Isaiah 53 tells about the stripes he had. He endured for me and you. All this they done to him. They beat him. They spat on him. They hit him in the face. I don't know about you, but the spitting on would be enough to do me in, brother. I would have zapped every one of them. But listen, they done all this stuff to him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a purple upon him. They put all this stuff on him. They done all this stuff. Then they took him out to a place called the place of the skull. And they laid him down there on a piece of wood. And there they took nails and they drove the nails into his hands and feet. You want to know who drove the hands? Who drove the nail? Me and you did. Have y'all heard the new song by Crowder? Have y'all heard that? He said, I hear I lay with a hammer in my hand. Listen, each one of us had a hammer in our hands. No, we wasn't born yet, but Jesus knew what was going to be, and he died for us anyway. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, laying there on that cross, they drove the nails in his hands and feet. Then they stood that cross up. Oh, what the pain must have been as that thing dropped in the ground. Can you imagine having nails? Hey, I've just poked a nail in my foot before, and I'd run to the doctor. I just barely poked a nail in my hand. It hurts. It hurts. But listen, he was there. He endured all the pain for they. Of all they done to him, it says in Luke, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now listen, we learned this in school too, and I want you to understand this. Learned is a good word. It's like okra. It's in muscadine. But listen, it said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who knows everything, is praying for they. So the they that he's praying for, and it says if you ask the Father, he'll give you anything, according to the name of Jesus. So Jesus knew exactly who the they was. The they that was persecuting him, the they that was doing all these things, was the same they that would be forgiven because the Son of God had just asked the Father to forgive him. And you don't think God was going to do what he asked for? He asked forgiveness for each one of them. Each one of them days, he asked forgiveness for them. And they are, were, and will be saved. No, I'm not Calvinist and believe in predestination, but Jesus knows exactly who will accept him. And I promise you this, those days Jesus saw through the time and through the portals of time, and he knew in 2017 which one of these would be saved. And listen, he prayed for that. John 17 tells us about it. He said, they, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They chose a robber over a Savior. How many times, y'all, do we choose a robber over a Savior? How many times do we choose a scoundrel over a Savior? We see it all the time in elections, don't we? We choose many things over a Savior. We choose in our own life, Barabbas over the Savior. We choose somebody that the crowd hates. But listen, they may have hated Barabbas. They may have hated what they'd done to him. But you know what? They was afraid of what this man, that this man really was who he said he was. That's the reason they crucified him. That's the reason they weren't done with him. They thought he might be who he said he was. And they should have known he was who he said he was. Have you ever known anybody else that could bring a dead to life? Have you ever known anybody else that could touch somebody and their eyes would be made that was blind? Have you seen anybody could touch a lame man? He could walk. They should have known. And listen, us in this building this morning, we're one of those days. And we should know who to choose. Sad thing is, many won't choose. Many of the theys that could have been a they won't choose. Because I believe the scripture tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They. I never thought about those days before. I heard a preacher preach a message one time that there they crucified him, but I never preached on the days. And boys, I began looking at that. You know what I saw? I saw a picture of me at each one of those days. I saw a picture of me. No, I didn't physically drive the nails in his hands, but listen, if they didn't, I probably would have. No, I didn't do this, but listen, my sin is a reason nailed to that cross. I want y'all to see the importance of the days. They had a choice. The third point. The thieves that were crucified with him had a choice. There was two thieves, the Bible teaches, that was crucified with him. Luke 23, 39 through 43. Luke 23, there was two men. We got the picture of the cross right here. There was two other men crucified. Listen to this. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other saying, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received a due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall they be with me in paradise. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Listen, the very thieves on the cross had an opportunity to choose life. They had opportunity to choose Jesus. But listen, one of them chose the right direction. One of them chose the wrong direction. How sad is it today that we still have the thieves on the cross and they still give an opportunity and many will rival on him. Many will talk about him. Many will step on him. And many still curse the name of Jesus. But bless God, we still have some that will call upon him. Even, boy, this is what amazed me about the faith of this thief. In death, right at death, y'all, he had nothing else to live for. He had no life left. In a moment, he was dead. Soon his legs, and he couldn't push up, he was dying. He was a dead man. Right at the moment of death, he made the best choice he'd ever made. He chose life. Right at death, he chose life. My granddaddy was about the same way. 2 weeks before he died, he chose life. He accepted Jesus. I've heard some of y'all say the same about y'all's kinfolks. Right at the moment. And people say, well, preacher, it ain't fair. How come somebody who teaches and preaches all about Jesus all their life from the time they're saved, how come they don't get something special and all this? And how come it just don't look right that those others would get to go to heaven? But listen, according to the scripture, they get the same things I get. He said, today will you be with me in paradise. He didn't say you must be baptized. He didn't say you must go down here and feed the hungry. He didn't say you must give to the church. And he didn't say that or any of this stuff or all these things. I mean, you believe a good Christian or do. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Whosoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what he said? He said, Lord, this is in Ramburn terms again. Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. That's all I can do. Right at death, he chose life. But boy, how sad is it? I love preaching about that one. But how sad is it that this other thief over there had the same choice, exact same choice to choose life or death, and he chose death. In his death, he still chose death. Hey, there's no doubt in this time, even though they didn't have cell phones or TVs, these men knew what Jesus had done. Jesus made such a stir in Jerusalem. They knew he had healed the blind. They knew he had made the lame walk again. They knew he had made a daze. They had seen all this, maybe with their eyes, or definitely not. If they hadn't seen it, they had heard about it. So they knew what the name Jesus could do. They had heard about it. And still one had faith and one didn't. One made a choice and one didn't. You see, the one on the left, listen. He listened to the mob. That's what he did. Guilty. Still, there's people, even in our church pews, that are still listening to the mob, saying, people, you're crazy for going down there to that house of God and worshiping a man that's been dead 2,000 years. You're crazy to do that. People are still doing that, and people are still listening to the mob. Still listening to him. But listen, the one on the right, What did he do? He listened to the Spirit of God. You say, well, don't say that the Spirit of God talked to him. Well, brother, the Bible says that a man cannot be saved unless the Spirit of God draw him. So the Spirit of God had to talk to his heart. He had to draw him and let him know who Jesus was, let him know who he was, or he could never have been saved. And he was saved because the Scripture says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Listen, church, I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, don't hasten. You run down this aisle and give your heart to the Lord. Choose Jesus. Amen. Choose Jesus. He had a choice. Had a choice. Now it gets to our time. We all have a choice. At that day, all of them had a choice. No, we weren't there on Golgotha. We weren't there, but today, me and you, we get a choice. He gave me and you an opportunity to make a choice. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Listen to what it says. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Were the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You says what you see what it says about choose? Choose you. It don't say tomorrow. It don't say choose next year when I'm out of school or when I'm out of college and I don't have this wild stuff to look forward to. It don't say choose this when you've been married 20 years, make sure it's going to be okay. It says choose today. Choose today. Make a choice today who you're going to serve. Listen, you know why you need to choose today? Because I know that no matter what happens, Brandon, I might die in 40 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I might do that, but one thing's for certain. I know that on my gravestone, it would say today on it that I left. You know why? Because I've been given today. I don't know that I'll be given tomorrow. It's not here yet. So if I'm going to make a choice, the only thing I can choose is what I've got to choose, and that's today. I can choose today. If I make a choice to go eat at the Mexican restaurant, I have to choose it now. I can't choose it tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here. I have to choose it today. Listen to Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you, both thou and thy seed may live. He says, everybody in this building today is going to record the choices that was made here. No, they don't work. They don't know, and I know you don't have to come down here and be saved. But everyone today is recording what's going on. We record, no, so-and-so made a choice just to stand there and his hand was locked onto the bench. Or the preacher made a choice to say this word or that word. So every single one of us today are recording what's going on in our little hard drives up here. We're recording it. But listen, there's one recording way more important than us. I call heaven to record this day against you. You see, lost person, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're not going to have an opportunity to say, I didn't have a chance. Because you're hearing the sound of my voice. You're given a chance. Even a record is made against you for this day. He says, I set before you life and I set before you death. Therefore, choose. Choose what you'll have. Choose life. Others, I believe it speaks to me and you right here. Choose life that both you and thy seed may live. Now, I know enough about the word to know that me being saved doesn't save my children. Papa being saved and starting this church won't save you. Mama being saved and starting this place won't save you. Daddy being saved and starting New Harmony Baptist Church has nothing to do with your salvation. I'm glad he did, but it has nothing to do with you. But I do know that the Scripture also teaches that when Zacchaeus, what does it say? His whole house was saved. Listen, Daddy, I believe with my heart that the problem in our country and in our communities is that daddies are not right with God, and that's why children's not right with God, and why mama's not right with God. It's why we've got so much crime and all this stuff. If you've ever watched the movie Courageous, it's one of the best examples I can ever see about that. Even, I'm not picking on the black community either, but I'm being honest with you. The reason crime is so great in the black community is because the fathers are not present. It tells you about it in that movie. You study statistics, it'll tell you about it. It's just the facts. So fathers, what will you choose? What will you choose? It says that both thou and thy seed may live. Fathers choosing Jesus might have an impact on your children, that they will choose Jesus and that they all might live. But there was another choice made. They had a choice. Pilate had a choice. We had a choice. But there was one choice that was so important. Jesus chose you. He chose you. The Bible says as he was hanging on the cross, he could call legions of angels to come and get him and deliver him. He could have done it. He could have called thousands and thousands, all of the angels that heaven contains, he could have called them down. Why? Because he rules it. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He called who he wanted to. But listen, in John chapter 19, verse 30, we see that he chose you. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." His salvation plan for you was complete. He made a choice. And boy, I don't know why in the world he would choose something like me. I don't know why he'd choose something like you. I love you, but listen. I wouldn't give one of my kids for you, I'm just being honest. And you wouldn't me. But God did. And Jesus made a choice. He knew what was going to happen when God sent him into Mary's womb. Jesus knew what was going to happen. It didn't surprise 30 pieces of silver. That wasn't any surprise. It didn't catch him off guard that even as Peter was going to deny. That didn't catch him off guard. It didn't catch him off guard that the same people who laid the palm leaves down as he walked in was the same people that said, "Crucify him." It didn't catch him off guard. He knew it would happen. And before the beginning, before the foundation of the world, he made a choice. And he chose you. He chose you. And I wrote down this little summary. We make choices every day, all day long. All choices have consequences. Some last for seconds or minutes. Some for months. Some for years. Some for a lifetime. Some choices we make today will affect us the rest of our life. Even today. But the choice we make about Jesus will affect us all of eternity. If we yes, we'll have heaven all of eternity. If we say no, and we don't have Jesus, then hell will be our home. It's not popular, but it's true. Look what Isaiah 57:15 says about eternity, and I'll be done. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite, and to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The one who abides in eternity, who is with him. You remember what Jesus said, how a man come to him? With a contrite spirit, with a broken spirit, with an humble spirit. He says, "I dwell in a high and holy place, and he that's accepted me is with me for all eternity." As we come with a verse of invitation. Now is the time where I'm done my part. I've dealt with my part through the week. I've dealt with my choices. I think about all this week, I thought about choices I've made. And I've saw consequences from choices I made. Some made me happy. Some made me happy for a minute, then I was sad at the next minute. But choices have consequences about Jesus Christ. You may say, "Well, preacher, I have never denied him." If you've never accepted him, you've denied him. You can't straddle the fence. There's no 1 foot on this side, 1 foot on this side of this subject. You're either for him or you're against him. You say, "Well, I've never denounced the name of Jesus. I've never crucified him. I've never persecuted him." Or you're against me. It's your time right now to make a choice as she sings.